When soon as the service is over, if you want to know why they don't like hogs, praise God, I'll be glad to tell you why. But praise God, we find that this young man found himself eating the husk of the hogs. In other words, he was eating slop. And hallelujah, and then he came to him since. Praise God, he said, wait a minute. My father got some hired hands, and they are sitting back, praise God, in the palace, and they are eating, can I throw some stuff out there? They were eating some cabbage greens. They were eating some mustard greens. They were eating, praise God, some caviar. They were eating steak, praise God. And he said, here I am out here in the huts, and I'm eating hog slop. And he came to his senses. He was at the most desperate point in his life, and he said, I'm gonna rise up, and I'm gonna go back to my father's house. And there is something, hallelujah, when you have gone off and you have done those things that you thought you were big and bad enough to do. And some folk find it hard to go back to Father because they don't know how Father is going to react. But there was something different about this Father. I know in this boy's mind, he was saying, what in the world is Father going to do? What in the world is Father going to say? But he didn't have to worry about that, because when he got ready to go back, the story tells me that the father was sitting there waiting for him. Somebody said, I don't know how he knew that it was his son. Maybe he had a certain walk about himself.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
I would that you look with me at a book that we don't hardly come out of, the book of Ruth. It's the 8th book in the Old Testament. Are you with me? It's right after the book of Judges and just before the book of 1 Samuel. If you go for the first 5 books of Pentateuch and you go Joshua, all right, Judges, and Ruth. All right, Ruth chapter number 1. And if you can't find it, look back in the back and they got the table of contents. It'll tell you what page it's on. Don't feel bad, I used to do that too, until I got used to my weapon, yeah? This is our weapon. We have to get used to using it. And sometimes, you know, when you're used to it, you just do things automatic. You can almost flip to it. Are you with me? Everybody got it? Say amen. Amen. Need a little more time? We'll wait. First chapter of the book of Ruth. And I want to begin reading at verse number 19 through verse number 22. And it reads, now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God, our Father, we come now asking for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. And that's the emphasis of verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. And with your prayers, I won't talk from the thought, coming home the hard way. Coming home the hard way. Let me begin by saying that the book of Ruth is, thank you, Ursus, has been called the greatest piece of literature ever written. It's a story of how a pagan girl named Ruth came to be a part of the covenant people, Israel. Now, in the first 7 verses of Ruth, we are introduced to the family of a man called Elimelech, who lived during the time of Judges, according to verse number 1. Now, it's a sad tale, Brother Jones, of a man who chooses to walk out on the Lord and God's plan for his life. As a result of his decision, he and his family had to pay a terribly high price. But we are told that Elimelech took his family to a place called Moab. Now, Moab was located just across the River Jordan. It was east of the Promised Land. It was a land inhabited by people who worshipped pagan gods. Now, the Moabites were the descendants of a man called Moab, who was the son of an incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters, Genesis 19:30-38. They were proud people, noted for their lawlessness, immorality, and brutal violence. They attacked and opposed Israel, seeking to destroy the people of God during Israel's wilderness wandering, according to Numbers chapter 23-25. But God says that they are nothing and they will be reduced to the lowest form of slavery. And yet, they were people who could be saved had they repented of their sins as Ruth did. And so it is to this despised and wicked nation that Elimelech moves his family. Here we see a picture of a person who willingly turns his back on the things of God and pays an awful price. Because, my brothers and sisters, if this section of Scripture teaches us anything, it teaches us that living in a backslidden condition carries with it devastating consequences. Typical illustration, the story is told of a farmer who concluded one day that the oats he fed his mule for years was simply costing him too much money. And so he hatched out a plan. But Crowell, he mixed a little sawdust in with the feed each day. And he added a little more, reducing the amount of oats in the mix. Well, the mule didn't seem to notice the gradual change, so the farmer thought things were fine, and he kept decreasing the proportion of oats. But about a week later, one day, he finally fed the poor beast nothing but sawdust, and the mule finished the meal and fell over dead. Now, this may seem to be perhaps a silly tale, but it serves as a parable of a backslider. I'm talking about the Christian who slips further and further away from God through unrepentant sin and neglect. Despite the fact that we know our souls cannot survive on spiritual sodas, yet we convince ourselves that a little won't hurt too much and a little less real spiritual food won't be missed. But then over time, the proportion, Lord have mercy, of spiritual sawdust increases while the oats gradually disappear. And before long, the change is complete and our starved sawdust, yes, stuffed spiritual life collapse. Now, Naomi never meant for this to happen, but one day she woke up to find that she was miles away from where the Lord wanted her to be. But if this section, again, of Scripture teaches us anything, it teaches us that living in a backslidden condition, as I've already said, it carries some devastating consequences, but repentance and restoration is always possible. And so this passage is all about how Naomi found her way back to Bethlehem, to the place of blessing. Now, I might be preaching to somebody here this morning, or even somebody by way of radio, who've allowed a little sin here, a little slackness here and today, and you find yourself in a place spiritually that you never thought possible. You look around at all that you have lost, and because of the results of your backslidden condition, and you wonder if there is any hope for spiritual restoration. Well, the answer to your question is yes. And this passage has something to say about how that can happen in your life. And so let's watch Naomi return to Bethlehem and think on the thought, coming home the hard way. Now, the first thing we see is the arrival in the Bethlehem. According to verse 9-8, now the trip from Moab to Bethlehem would have taken somewhere between 7 to 10 days. It would have required them to cross the River Jordan and to climb the 2,000-plus feet in elevation required to reach Bethlehem. Now, it would have been easy to stop short of the city, but they continued until they were where they were supposed to be. My brothers and sisters, true repentance is like that. You don't stop until you come all the way back to the Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't record any conversation between them as they traveled, but this reminds us that a person's repentance is a private matter because it's between them and the Lord, and we can't judge their condition by what they do or what they don't do. And so the text shows that they arrived to Bethlehem, to the city of God's praise, for the word Judah means praise. Bethlehem was a place where the Lord was honored and exalted. But there was no praise in Naomi's heart when she was in Moab. In the same way, the child of God who is away from the Father's house cannot have a heart of praise, nor can their life be honoring to the Lord. In Bethlehem, they arrived to the city of God's presence. In Ruth 1:6, we note that God had visited his people in Bethlehem. But while Naomi was in Moab, she was away from the Lord's presence. My brothers and sisters, all this shows us when a child of God is away from the will of God, he or she cannot enjoy the presence of God. But when a believer returns, he can once again enjoy the blessed presence of the Lord. Well, they arrived to Bethlehem, to the city of provisions. Now, the word Bethlehem means house of bread. bread. It was in the city of Bethlehem that Naomi would find the best of God's provisions. It was there where she could be fed. So it is with the child of God. My brothers and sisters, God's best blessings are reserved for those who will stay close to where God is working. They arrived to the city of God's people because she had returned to a place of kindred spirits and like-minded people. But in Moab, she was different. In Bethlehem, she belonged. So it is with the wayward child of God. My brothers and sisters, I believe some of us around here can think of somebody who wandered away from God. And you can look and see how their lives are falling apart. But I thank God that they or even you can come back home again. And so they arrived in Bethlehem. But after their arrival, there was the announcement to Bethlehem, according to verse 19b through 21. We know the text reveals that when they made it to Bethlehem, the city was disturbed and in an uproar because Naomi returned to Bethlehem alone, broke and in the company of a Gentile. And my brothers and sisters, the news was traveling all over town. And the text says the women, as they looked at her, they began to ask, "Is this Naomi?" In verse 21, she spoke of God's providence. She said the Lord had brought her home. I wonder how many times she had to tell of the death of her husband and her two sons. But the good news is she had arrived, she had returned back home. Because as the boxer Joe Louis coined the phrase, he said, "You can run, but you can't hide." If you don't believe that, just ask Jonah. God told Jonah, "I want you to go down to Nineveh." But Jonah decided he was going to go another way. And he called himself hiding from God. But my brothers and sisters, you can't hide from God. God is everywhere. In verse 20, yeah, through 21, she spoke of God's punishment. She said, "Don't call me Naomi." She said, "Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." She said in verse 21, "Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me." Now she seemed to blame all of her troubles on the Lord, but it was the result of her own choice. And yet she said in so many words, "God has turned against me, and he's made my life hard and bitter." But note the beginning of verse 21 reveals her heart, because she said, "I went out." Not that God made me go out, but she said, "I went out." Now the name Naomi means pleasant, but Mara means bitter. Evidently her husband Elimelech was a wealthy man when they left Bethlehem for Moab, because she said, "I left full and I returned home empty." Oh, my brothers and my sisters, that's the way it is when you backslide and walk away from God. But you know, God want to fill you up, but the plan of the devil is to empty you out. But thank God that God knows how to get our attention. Sometimes when God allows us to go through some things, he's trying to get your attention. But then she also spoke of God's patience, because in spite of the fact that she had brought about her own troubles, still the Lord worked hard in her life, and he brought her back home. But you know, I wondered why did it have to be Naomi? Why couldn't he brought Elimelech, her husband, two sons, Mahlon or Chilion? Well, perhaps their hearts was fixed, but Naomi's heart was still teachable, because she hadn't allowed her heart to be hardened. And I thank God for his patience in our lives. No wonder the Bible says, 1 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. But not only, yes, Lord, do we see the arrival in Bethlehem and the announcement to Bethlehem, but finally we see the anticipation in Bethlehem. Now verse 22 reveals that the barley harvest was just beginning when Naomi and Ruth, her Moabite daughter-in-law, arrived in Bethlehem. It was a time of blood, because the time of barley harvest was also the time of the Passover, a time to shed blood of the lamb and commemorate the deliverance of God's people from Egyptian slavery. It's a picture of coming home through the blood. For we know that 1 John 1:7 says, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, it cleanses us from all sin. Oh, I don't know about you, but I thank God that the blood of the lamb is sufficient to take care of the sins of a wayward child of God. It was a time of bounty, because this was also the time of the feast of the first fruits, a time when the first of the barley harvest was offered in a wave offering before the Lord as gratitude for the harvest that was about to be reaped. And when the priest made the wave offering, he was saying, this is just the first, and there is more in the way. Now Jesus is presented in the Bible as the first fruits from the dead, according to 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. My brothers and sisters, I don't know if you know it or not, but it's always a time of harvest when a wandering child find their way back home. Finally, it was a time of beginning. Naomi wanted her name to be changed to Mara, but when the Holy Spirit mentions her in verse 22, he calls her Naomi. Now, she may have been bitter in her heart, but the Lord has some pleasant blessings ahead for this woman. But the women said, when they saw her make her way back home, Lord, is that Naomi? Because the people were amazed at her appearance and her problems. But she was coming home the hard way. No doubt when she left, yes, Lord, Reverend Hurd, she was a beautiful woman. Perhaps she was full of energy and charm. But now she's perhaps haggard and unkempt. That beautiful smile that she used to have is gone. She don't have it no more. Maybe she's a little bent over and walking on a cane. But in spite of her outward experience, the Lord was about to give her blessings and the glory that she had never imagined. But now folk may look at you and begin to mumble about how they don't believe that you're the same person that you used to be. But still, there's joy in heaven over one repentant sinner. Well, as I try to move to the close, my brothers and sisters, let me ask you this morning, where has this message found you today? Has sin and worldly living stripped you of all the Lord has done for you? Do you find yourself less interested in service the Lord? Remember, backsliding is a gradual process, and before long, your spiritual sort of stuff, soft soul, will die and collapse. Do you need a fresh start today? Well, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus tells the story of a little boy who left home that we know as the prodigal son. He left home one day to find fun and adventure. And when he went out into a far country, the Bible said that he lost everything that he owned. And he wound up in a pig pen. He wound up in a place that he never thought he would
be. That's the way it is with everyone who backslides and walks away from the Lord. Yes, when you first leave, look like everything is all right. Remember, gradually you're going down, down, down. And one day you'll look up and realize where you are. But this young man came to his senses and he decided to go back home. Although he didn't feel like a son anymore, he didn't know what he would find when he get back home. But when he got back home, he found that the father was ready to forgive him, love him, and restore him to a place of perfect fellowship and blessings. Is that what you need today? Perhaps I may be talking to someone here this morning, or someone listening by way of radio. Perhaps when you walked away from the Lord in the church, you left full, but you returned home empty. And perhaps now you don't look like you used to do. Maybe you look older than you really are, because sin, the world, or perhaps drugs or alcohol have taken a toll on your life. But God is not looking at your outward appearance. He's looking at your heart, and he wants to restore you back and bring back the joy in your life. And besides this, these old bodies are only temporary. So will you come this morning? Your restoration is only a step away. Don't worry about what the people gonna say, but you ought to come back home. And like the prodigal, Jesus is prodigal's father. Jesus is stepping, waiting with open arms. He's saying, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and in me you find rest for your soul. Oh, perhaps someone needs to come this morning to the Lord to be saved, because you have nothing but sorrow of sin today and the prospect of hell tomorrow. But you don't have to die and go to hell. You can choose right now to make heaven your home by stepping out on faith and receiving Jesus as saving Lord of your life. Because if you honestly say and believe that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God will accept you and he will save you. It's with the heart that a person believes on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now the reason this is possible, because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he hung, bled, and died for your sins and mine. And 3 days later, right early Sunday morning, he rose up from the grave with all power and heaven and earth in his hand. And when he got up, he didn't just stay here, but he walked around showing himself alive for some 40 days. Then he caught a cloud and went back to glory. But he's promised he's coming back again. Are you ready for the Lord's return? Ain't God all right? I don't know about you, but I've been in both conditions, because one day I was lost, but I came to Jesus just like I was. I was wearied, wounded, and sad. I found in him a resting place. He had made me glad. He lifted me up. He saved my soul. But not only that, one day I backslid. I walked away from the Lord and went back in the world, and the world took its toll. But one day I came to myself and I made my way back to the Lord. I was ashamed, and knowing people were disappointed because I walked away from the Lord, but that's all right. I came just like the prodigal son. I said, Lord, here I am. I'm sorry for my sin. Bring me back into the fold. Hey, God, all right. Well, the evidence is not only did he return the joy of my salvation, but he anointed me to preach his word. Ever since that day, I've been trying to tell somebody that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Well, you might have to come home the hard way. You may not look like you used to look. And folk gonna be